So if you got your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to begin at verse 4 and I'm going to read through verse 13. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. May God add blessings to the reading of his words. I come with you this morning to bring you a warning. I want to warn you. This message may be found to be offensive to some and is not intended to be politically correct. I have to warn you this morning that this message and next week and Wednesday night and next week is a message that has been building up in my soul for several years. Whether it be driving a school bus and seeing the behavior of children on a bus, or whether it be pastoring a church and seeing behavior of children in church, I have to say I have become more and more concerned over the understanding and the need for discipline in the lives of children. Now, I have to also let you know this morning that as I go through the study, this morning, like I said, I want to deal with the practical implications, theological implications of what this says. God disciplines those whom he loves. And so I want to look kind of at that basic passage this morning as I look at the message that I want to give you. But I also want to look next week at the little practical, I've already talked about it, at the practical implications of what this passage talks about concerning the realms of discipline. Now, in order to do that this morning, I want to show you a little bit of a clip from the movie Parental Guidance. How many of you have seen the movie Parental Guidance? Anybody else seen it? Oh, it's a classic. Believe me, if you haven't got the DVD, we've got it. We'll let you watch it, okay? You got to watch it, especially if you're a grandparent. This is just a small clip out of the passage that I want to show for you because it just kind of illustrates a little bit about what we're going to talk about.
Just little pieces, and you don't tell mommy about the movie, and I don't tell her about the cake.
You guys okay? I will be right back.
What a great day. It's like a birthday that came early.
Hi, Artie, we're back. Did you have fun with the boys? Look at this place. We're going to have to call FEMA.
Jake.
Where's Artie?
He left.
He left.
Wheels on the bus.
Your mother sees this.
What's going on?
Round and round.
Hi.
Wheels on the bus go round.
What did you do?
I just got here.
You gave them cake?
I gave them slivers.
This perfectly sums up your entire approach to parenting.
They had an approach.
That perfectly sums up your entire approach to parenting. You see, the whole film is about the difference between mom and dad's parenting and now their parenting. And I recognize that there is a difference. I recognize the way we raised our children is not the way our children are raising their children. Parents, you want to give me amens? And as a grandparent, you recognize your job is not to raise the grandkids, but to allow them to raise them. But at the same time as grandparents, you've raised your kids, you've gone through the hard knocks of life of raising children, and hopefully, prayerfully feel like you did maybe something right in the raising of your children. Now, I've already told you that this has been building in me for several years, and the whole understanding of discipline or the lack thereof of disciplining our children. And so as I begin the message this morning, I want to talk about some key issues that we need to address before we even look at this. And I know my time is gone. I might even have to cut it short this morning, carry it over to next week, and continue the discussion next week as we look at it then, and then try to do the practical application as well next week. So again, there's a lot to try to get in. But I want to look at the key issues to me in facing discipline and preaching on discipline for me this morning and discussing the whole idea of discipline. And the first issue I put down is what I put down as personal issues. And what am I talking about when I talk about personal issues? Well, I have to tell you that I have personal issues about the way I raise my children. And it was the way I raised them. And the way we raised them. And I have to be careful in wanting everybody else to raise their children the way I raised my children. And so I recognize that we all have personal ideas in the way to raise our children. Some of us get it right, some of us get it wrong. Or maybe I should say some of us get it right, all of us get it wrong at some point in time. But we must recognize that we all have had personal ways in which we've sought to raise our children. Does that make sense? Okay. And I recognize this morning that the last thing you want me to do or I want to do is to try to tell you how to raise your children. And so there's personal issues that we all have when it comes to raising our children. Secondly, there are social issues. There is a sense today in which to discipline your children corporally, in other words, to spank or to somehow physically cause harm to your children, is seen in society as abuse. And who wants to be abusive today? For there is a sense in which we are living in a non-abusive society, right? You can't abuse anybody. There's elder abuse, there's child abuse, there's sexual abuse, there's verbal abuse. There's so much abuse happening in the world. How do we want to add to that abuse by promoting the discipline of our children in regards to corporal discipline? I recognize, as I said, this message may be offensive to some and is not intended to be politically correct. Because society says, do not discipline your children in regards to spanking or corporal discipline. But I have to come this morning in regards to biblical issues. I just read the passage. I can tell you that at least 7 times and maybe 10 times in the passage that I read, the word discipline is used. And the passage says God disciplines those whom he loves. And the passage says, just as a father disciplines his children and has a whole discussion upon disciplining children. Originally, I was going to wait and use the application passage that I'm doing next week in 2 weeks for Father's Day, but I thought, no, I don't want to break it up. But we do see, what does the Bible say about disciplining our children? That's why Wednesday night, I want to look at it some more. I want to look at other passages of Scripture. What does the Bible say? And then next week, I want to look at even more. What does the Bible say about disciplining our children? For as I've shared with you already, this has been building up, and finally I came to a passage, not because I turned to the passage, but because I came across the passage that discusses discipline and the need thereof. And so we need to open ourselves up to what the Word of God says. And so this morning I have to try to address the issue, and this Wednesday night and next Sunday night, and what does the Bible say about discipline? And then fourthly, I put down here, there's theological issues. What does this even say about God? For you see, if we look at the passage, God disciplines those whom he loves. And in society, discipline is seen as something that is abusive in the minds of many people in our society today. If God disciplines those whom he loves, God abuses people. And so we see the fact that to understand discipline in the realms of today is to be seen as abusive and paints a picture of God as an abusive God. For he disciplines those whom he loves. And then fifthly, I put down here practical issues. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we will look at this next week. What are the practical issues that are involved when we consider the whole realm and the whole understanding of disciplining our children? But this morning, I want to back up. And again, man, if I'm going to cover the 5 points in the 4 minutes I've got to go quickly. All right. So let me try to run through this as quickly as I can, and then I'll stop when I feel like it's need to stop so that we can get out of here in a decent time, but yet still at the same time. I really don't want to just rush through this stuff. Can you give me an amen on that? Say, don't, Don. All right. Let me just look at this now, and then we'll get into the rest of it later on. Biblical teachings on discipline. Number one starts with this. It's from God. It's from God. All right? Disciplining your children and being disciplined by God is not something that the culture has given a place upon society. It's not something that a patriarchal culture has placed upon society that you need to discipline your kids. It comes from the biblical teaching that's given here in Hebrews and as well throughout Proverbs and throughout the Scriptures. We need to understand that the biblical teaching on discipline has been given to us by God. Now, what I want to do here, again, this is coming from the passage, don't make light, all right, the fact that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now, what do I mean by that? Why does God discipline us? Let me give you a couple. Let me just look at this. Again, I want to use the word briefly, but I really don't want to look at it briefly, all right? We need to take some time to look at it. Number one, God disciplines us for sin. Any amens to that? When we sin, There are consequences. There are disciplinary consequences that occur when we sin. And often God disciplines us when we sin. Now, here's what I want to look at the difference though, okay? When we sin and God disciplines us for sin, there are consequences to our sin. I want you to think for a moment of David and Bathsheba. We talked about this in our Sunday school class, so it's fresh in my mind. David and Bathsheba, David was on his roof, looks over, sees Bathsheba taking her evening bath and says, I want her. They go get her. He commits adultery with her and he commits sin. Let me ask you, are there consequences to David's sin? Oh, yeah. There are lots of consequences. David in Psalm 32 says, my bones wasted away when I didn't confess my sin. So David himself had personal consequences internally, spiritually, as he recognizes. And then as well in Psalm 51, he talks about the fact of, take not your Holy Spirit from me, you know, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And so we see the consequences of David's sin. But we also, if you know the story, know, is there consequences? Does God punish David for the sin in which he commits with Bathsheba? Anybody want to help me? And what were the consequences? What was the punishment? Do you remember what it was? The death of the baby. And so we see when we sin, there are consequences that God requires of us, and he disciplines us in our consequences as a result of the sin that we commit. And then the discipline of God is to lead us to what? Repentance. And so we see the whole reason that God disciplines is that we might be brought to repentance. It's not just to punish us, but it's to bring us to the point of repentance where there's a heartfelt sorrow for our sin. That's essential, folks. If we don't understand why God disciplines us in our sin, then we will not understand why and how we discipline our children in their sin. Secondly, it's from God for discipline. Now, when I use the word discipline here, we need to understand that the word that is used here, discipline, throughout this passage, is the word to mean to train or correct or to teach. And so what it's teaching us is the fact that when God disciplines us, the reason for his discipline is not just to punish us in the negative sense when we do things wrong, but it's also to train us, to correct us, to teach us in the right way to walk. And so discipline from God is not just punal, is that right? Punitive, maybe that's a better word. Penal, I guess, is the word I'm thinking. It's not just penal or punitive, but it's also to train us in the right way in which we should walk. And then thirdly, I put down here, it's from God for circumstances. And this one, boy, believe me, Wednesday night, I want to talk about this. I'll be honest with you. Because it begs the question, are there circumstances in our life that are simply circumstances that we happen to come across because we live a life? Or are all the circumstances that we face in life brought to be circumstances by God for a purpose in our life? We'll wrestle with that. Okay? I want to talk about that. I wrestle with that. I didn't know whether even to put it in here. But I do believe that there are things that happen in our life and we're like, well, God, did I sin? Is God trying to punish me? Is this, you know, or did I get the flu just because I caught a virus? You see where I'm going with it? How do we determine when something goes wrong in our life, whether this is God's discipline because I've done something wrong and it's punitive, or is it God's discipline because he wants to train me and teach me something from it, or is it just a circumstances I just happen to have the flu. We need to wrestle with those issues. And so I put down here, it's from God. Take it seriously. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement. So Paul writes this whole understanding of discipline to encourage or to comfort or to exhort you. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't just flip it off. Don't just, it's no big deal. I'm encouraging you in this next 2 weeks to look at the whole understanding of discipline, because the writer of Hebrews says, do not take it lightly. Take it seriously. And so we need to understand that if the biblical teaching of discipline is from God, then we need to take it seriously. Is it making sense? Let's go to the second point, and I'll probably end with that. And come back and do the other points. I'll give them to you. I'll give you the answers just in case you want to fill in the blanks, but I'll give you the rest of it, but we'll probably look at more of it next week. Secondly, the biblical teaching on discipline is not just that it's from God and we need to take it seriously, but it's from love. And we need to take it lovingly. We need to understand that the Bible says the Lord disciplines those what? Whom he loves. In fact, I believe the scriptures go so far as to say that if you do not discipline your children, you do not love your children. Or at least you do not demonstrate to your children that you love them. Now, why am I saying this? How does discipline demonstrate love? Number one, it protects them. To discipline your children is to establish boundaries for your children, in which if they maintain their conduct within these boundaries, then they know they are safe and they are protected. Now, I know that the teachings of secular psychologists and child psychologists, who I find it interesting, many child psychologists don't even have children, but they're telling you how to raise yours, would say to put a child in a playpen and allow him to play is abusive because it confines your child to a certain area. Anybody heard that? And what you need to do is let your child be able to experience the world, and don't put any boundaries on your children. For to discipline your child is to put a boundary upon them, and it will crush their creativity. Now, let me, you can talk to my wife next week about this. I'm going to put her on the hot seat for a moment. We were in ministry when we already had our children, and there was a sense in which raising children in the ministry is not necessarily any harder than what you have in raising your children, but sometimes the expectations are a little higher. Can I at least get credit for that? And so Lynette made the decision in the raising of our children that she is not going to childproof our living room. In other words, she's not going to set stuff off the counter so that the kids can't reach it, or off the coffee table so the kids can't reach it. Because when we take our kids into somebody else's house, then they have to learn that they cannot go pick up that fine china dove that they have sitting on their, you know, as the heirloom, you know, that they've got sitting on their shelf. And so there was a sense in which, with the raising of our children very small, they quite often heard the word what? No. Would you say, Joel? Oh, pretty. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Joel. We needed that. All right. I mean, there was a sense in which Jennifer's first word she learned was pretty. Because Lynette would say, No, that's pretty. And so Jennifer learned, it's pretty. I can't touch it. Right? Now, I will kind of use this one just to kind of pick on my kids a little bit. Jennifer's not here next week. Maybe she will be here this week, so you guys can all tell them what Dad picked on Jennifer this week. We did one time go to visit one of the leaders in the church, an elderly couple as well, very sweet, godly, elderly couple we had. Lynette's already laughing because she knows what I'm going to say. And they were dishing up, and I think they were dishing up. Do you remember what it was, dear? Okay, she says it was pudding. I thought it was applesauce or gravy. Jennifer, and again, she's 3 years old, 2 years old, something like that, takes the spoon, dishes up the pudding, and licks the spoon off and puts it back in the dish. Now, okay, so I just want to say we don't always get it right. Okay, and you can't always control the behavior of your children. But we need to understand God wants us to discipline our children so that we know, so that they know we love them. How many of you know of a child who's been able to run freely and says, my parents don't care because they don't bother to discipline me? I can do whatever I want. And so it sets boundaries to demonstrate to your kids that you love them, discipline them to set boundaries for them. Boundaries are a safe thing. I worked on a farm. You know what? If you do not have an electric fence out for your calves, they will do what? Run anywhere and everywhere. And when their wet nose touches that electric fence, it hurts. But they learn not to do it again. Protection. Secondly, it corrects them. All right? To discipline out of love is to correct your children's behavior. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have been to Walmart or Kmart or to the grocery store, and the aisle over, you suddenly hear the, I want some candy! How many of you have even seen them get on the floor and kick their feet? Because they know that if they misbehave, what will happen? They'll get it. I'm sorry I missed that one, Marilyn, but that's okay. You can get it. Give it to me later, okay? All right? Now, I simply have to state, now again, this is kind of getting to the practical that I want to get into next week, that when Lynette and I went shopping, when younger in the ministry, when the kids were younger, I a lot of times would go grocery shopping with her, and you don't, wives, I have to say, you don't always have that opportunity. I understand that. I know that. In the ministry, my time is more free. I can go do things at certain times and have other times in which I have to do other things. But, so in other words, we were able to go to the store. So if our children threw a temper tantrum in the store, I have to say, I was able to pick them up out of the seat and very gently escort them out of the store and get to the car. Now, you might, I understand what I'll talk about this later. Put them in their car seat and say, you are not getting out of the seat until the crying is done. And so they learn. I'm going to. I just have to say this in honesty and hopefully with integrity. I want to brag on my kids. What parent doesn't like to brag on their kids? I also want to say the fact this morning, do you know why my kids are sitting in the front row and back there quietly? Because we had the rule that if we have to take you out of this church, you will get a spanking. Now, we had to do that. At least for us raising our children. For us, we felt it was necessary. Now, I recognize some of you have had to get out and take your kids out. I'm not telling you that you have to spank your kids. But I do have to let you know that in the ministry, in the church, my wife is the most vulnerable person here. She doesn't have somebody else to help her anymore. Because I'm up here. Now, people have told me that they have seen times in which my kids did stuff and I had to step down from the ministry and exercise the role of father. But I just want you to know the fact that the reason why things are the way they are is because we had to teach our kids how to behave. And discipline is necessary to teach your kids how to behave. Now, let me back up and say, does that require corporal discipline? That's next week, all right? We'll talk about it more. Thirdly, it's from love. It reproves rebellion. If we're going to discipline our children in love, we must rebuke rebellion. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he, what? It's right there in the scripture. When he rebukes you. There are times when your children will cross their arms, stomp their feet, and will say, "You cannot make me." Anybody heard it before? Am I the only one that has kids that do that? It usually starts about what age? Help me out. When do they do that? Terrible twos. And when that happens, you better stop the rebellion then. Because you do not want your 16-year-old kid grabbing the keys and saying, "You cannot stop me." So it must be done when the children are young. I believe it's, if I get it wrong, forgive me, Proverbs 26, I believe it is. Train up a child when? When they're young. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, we can look at this next week, all right? Some other time, okay? This is just one of the biblical passages you can look at. But God talks about disciplining. So when we discipline our children, we must recognize that biblical discipline comes from God. You have to take it seriously, and it's done out of love. You have to take it and do it lovingly. Now, parents, how many mothers said, "This is going to hurt me more than it is you"? I just have to give this last story, and then I'm going to end. We'll end it here, and I'll come back and preach the rest of it next week, and maybe we'll have the panel discussion on Father's Day. I don't know. But anyways, when you say that this will hurt me more than it will you, I have to tell you that you know where I'm going, right? Dear, where am I going? Yeah. Our son, Jason, my wife's hand would be red from trying to discipline him. And he would turn around to her and do what? Laugh at her and say, "It didn't even hurt, Mom." Now let me ask you this question. Should discipline hurt? Another question for Wednesday night. Verse 6, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. We'll look more at that possibly Wednesday night if you want to come and discuss this more on Wednesday night, and maybe next week if you have a question about it. But folks, my time is more than gone. And again, I told you, this has been 10 years coming. Thank you for your patience. And as well, next week then, we'll pick it up. All right? I tell you what, got your pens ready? I will give you the answers if you want the answers. And next week we're going to go through it again. Number three, it's for acceptance. Take it personally. God disciplines those who are His sons. Which means if you're disciplined, you are accepted by God, and that's why He disciplines you, because you are His son. And that shows the limits. You can't discipline somebody else's son. You can discipline your son. So we have that. So take it personally. We'll look more at that. Fourthly, boy, Tyler, it did it again, didn't it? Fourthly, it's for your good. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Okay? So we're going to look at why it's good to discipline. We've already kind of done that. But we're going to look at even more. Why is it good? So take it carefully. Be careful in the way you discipline your children so that it is good. And fifthly, it's for a purpose. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I want you to see, and again, this is another form of apology, that this is not Don just up here ranting and raving about how he thinks kids should be raised. This is Don attempting to utilize the experiences that God has taught him and the Word of God that He's given to you to show you why and how you must discipline your children. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, we will continue this Wednesday night if you want to come and talk about it on a more intimate level, a more personal level. And then next week, as we'll continue on and then prayerfully get some practicality out of it next week as we have an opportunity, which I'm not so sure that it's going to happen next week. It might be in 2 weeks. So Father's Day might end up being a group discussion, but we'll just see how it works out. And again, if you're like, boy, Don, you're really beating this one to death, bear with me, please. All right. Let's stand together. I'll close this in prayer, unless there's anything else. And then we've got to sing Happy Birthday to Shirley, okay? Gracious Father, thank You so much for the Word that You've given unto me, and I pray that Your Spirit has directed me in the message which I have been given this morning to present. For Lord, it is not easy in the time in which discipline is seen as something negative and abusive to try to present the truth that You discipline us out of love, and it's not abusive. It's for our benefit. And so, Father, I thank You for the words that You have given to me. I thank You for the spirit in which I'm able to give it. And I pray, Father, that Your Spirit's able to take it and to apply it to our lives and to teach us and to train us in godliness and in righteousness, that we may live a peaceful life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. You all are dismissed. Thank you for bearing with me. Oh, happy birthday, Shirley. Are you ready? Here we go. Happy birthday.